time.
I don't know what he is to you.
Come on.
He's good.
But I can tell you, God is good to me. Yeah. And as I watch the news and I watch the events that took place over in Ukraine, with those, whoever they were, that shot down that plane, they said that from the time that they shot the heat-seeking missile to the time that it hit the plane, the pilots didn't even have seconds to realize what happened. Amen. And they show, I don't know if you all have seen it, they show actually, it's not this one, but I think some of the others are there, some of the other planes that are shot down. Within seconds of the missile taking off, the plane was destroyed. And everybody on that plane thought it was just an ordinary day.
Yes, sir, that's right.
So I'm saying tonight we thank God. And that, can we be mindful? Amen. When you see catastrophes, that's a hideous crime. When you see something like that, keep those families in prayer. Amen. I saw some of the family members on the news crying. Amen. Just devastated. Who would expect to be shot down? Just a civilian, not in war, but shot down. And then you watch what's happening over in Israel, the Gaza Strip, right. Israel, Hamas. Amen. These are the last days. These are the last days. And when you see what somebody else is, can you look at somebody and say what somebody is really going through. Come on, look at somebody and tell what they're really going through. Tonight we're not going through anything. We're not going through anything because God is with us, amen. So we want to be ever so mindful to keep them in prayer. Amen. You know, one of the signs for of the last days, amen, if you read about it in Luke, the Bible says that Israel will be surrounded by armies.
Right.
Amen. And every time they keep talking about peace, it seems like the situation gets worse. But we don't worry tonight because we know that God is on our side. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue our study that we had on last Friday night. As I said, we're going to try to make it a series. Because I think it's so important that we as a body of Christ learn to stop doing so much worry. As a body of Christ, as leaders in the church, we all have to learn to stop doing so much
worry.
Amen. You know, in Paul writing to the church of Rome, he tried to get them to understand the significance of hope. Amen. He tried to get them, he said, for we are saved by what?
Hope.
But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? Amen. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with
patience.
Patience to what?
Wait for it.
Now that wait is the same word in the Old Testament, which means to hope or to trust in God. Wait, it means to hope, to trust, to have an eager expectation that God's going to intervene. All right, so he said, we're saved by hope, and because we're saved by hope, he says, the Spirit helps our
infirmity.
We are waiting, we are hoping. The Spirit helps our infirmity, for we know not what to pray for as we are. But the Spirit is, look at somebody and say, God can do it. The Spirit itself making intercession for the saints according to the
will of God.
And he that searcheth, hallelujah. You know, when I read that one time, it hit me, he said, the Spirit of God above us. And the Spirit of God that's in us is praying to the same Spirit, and he knows what's in our heart.
All right.
Do you understand that? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that's above us is the same Spirit of God that's in us. It's searching our heart, and then he's making intercession for us according to his will back to him. How can you lose with that kind of Spirit? Amen. He said that because of that we what? No. Well, why do you know? Because God is in control. The Spirit of God in us is praying to the Spirit of God above us for the Spirit of God to lead us. know that what? All things
work together for good.
So if all things are working together for good and we're praying, why are we worrying?
Right.
Amen. My brother told me something when I was down south. You know, he said something his former pastor told him when we were talking. He said the pastor told him, he said, if you're going to pray, then don't worry. He said, but if you're going to worry,
don't pray.
Amen. If you're going to pray, then what?
Don't worry.
But if you're going to worry, then
don't pray.
Well, what's crippling the body of Christ? What's spiritually retarding the body of Christ? Now, it doesn't mean you're not still moving, but you're not moving in the same cadence or pace that God wants us to move in, is the spirit of worry. Then Jesus said, how many of you by taking what?
What?
How many of you by taking thought? Amen. How many of us? I can't say you because I'm in this too.
Right.
Amen. The word of God cuts what? Both ways. Going in. So how many of us by taking thought? That means how many of you by worry? And add one cubit to your
stature.
And the Bible says, not one sparrow falls from the ground that our heavenly Father does not, he's not aware of. And he says, God loves us so much that the very hairs on our heads are what? They're numbered. You know what? Scientists can't do this. The medical field can't do this. Only God can number the very hairs on our heads. Amen. How many lose hair every day? Some of us lose a little more than others. But even in that, God keeps account. You know what he's saying? He said, if God will take notice of you concerning the least, most insignificant thing, which is your hair, do you think God is not aware of the greater things? God takes care of the insignificant, down to the minutest detail. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And you mean that God won't take care of the greater things? But that's one of the ways the devil gets the advantage. So we're going to go back. Let's stand up. Let us stand again. We're going back to Psalms, the 37th division of Psalm, because we're going to stop worrying. Amen. You know, prophecy is history revealed what? In advance. Right? Prophecy is history revealed in advance. Well, what is worry? Amen. Prophecy. God reveals his will, what's going to happen in advance. So when it takes place, we say God already had it written out. Amen. What is worry?
Help.
You're worried about something before it even takes place. But God knows what it takes. So we're going to read in the 37th division of Psalm. We're going to read from verses 7 to 16. Okay? Verses 7 through 16 of the 37th division of Psalm. I'm not going to make y'all back me up because I know y'all are really meditating on the word. So we're going to let you meditate. We're going to let you hide in your heart. All right? Because we want you to get it. Amen?
Amen.
But we went over this last week, and we're going to go into it a little more further this week. It says, rest in the Lord, and what? Who are we waiting for?
The Lord.
We're waiting on him. Amen. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not, which means to worry, to have anxiety. Fret not thyself because of him who
prospereth in his way.
Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from When you start worrying too much, you know what that does? That create a spirit of anger. I love that way. And forsake wrath. Once again, stop worrying. Fret not thyself in any wise. When you get angry and get mad, it always winds up in something that's going to be evil. Amen? For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that
wait upon the Lord.
But those that
wait upon the Lord,
they share. earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his ways, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the
abundance of peace.
Not just a little peace. The meek will have the what? Abundance. We're talking about a saved church. We're talking about somebody with the Holy Ghost on the inside. They don't just have peace, but they have the abundance of peace. He says, the wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh. God said, I got this. Hallelujah. God is on my side. Let them plot. Amen. Let them divide. Let them try to curse. But God got this. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out who's against this, the righteous, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright. All these people walking in church and saying to live holy. The world don't like that, so they want to do something to destroy you. Amen? Their bow, their sword shall enter into their and their bones shall be broken. Now listen to this. Hey, what?
Let me do.
Don't worry about what you got. Are you righteous? Are you doing the best you can?
Hallelujah.
Are you giving God your all? Well, this is a little that a
righteous man has.
Hey, what? A little that a righteous man is better than what?
Richard many.
Oh, how many wicked?
Many.
You don't have a religion if you're saved and your Holy Ghost feel is better. Woo. So you don't have to worry about anything else because it's better than all the riches of not just one wicked, not two wickeds, not three wickeds, not your whole neighborhood, not everybody that's not them, but what? Many wicked. Amen. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word in the church said,
word of the Lord.
Finish blessed.
Already.
Amen. You may be seated. We're trying to now try to find our place in God and trying to react like God wants us to react. Now, it's important for us to realize that the only way that we can cleanse ourselves, the only way that we can be right before God is by taking heed according to his
word.
The scripture said, wherewithal shall they what?
Young men cleanse his ways.
You know, a lot of times people like to wait till they get old. He said, you know, young people need to cleanse their ways too. So wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by your what? Take heed thereto according to thy word. And then he, in the same psalm, he turns around and he says that his word is a lamp to our
feet.
We're talking about what? God's word. Tonight, that's all we need is God's word. Didn't Jesus tell Martha? She said, Mary is taking that one good part. The what part? One good part, which shall never be taken away. Do you realize that when you got God's word, even a demon's in hell can't take it away? I can be on a plane and get shot down, but if I meet God, amen. But he said his word is a lamp to our feet and a
light to our path.
So if you don't have the word, guess what you're in?
Darkness.
Hello? If you don't have the word, if you don't have the word in your heart, if you walk without the word, you're in
darkness.
Because you don't have a lamp or a light. Amen. So we need God's word. Amen. The next time the devil, you know, we put this cartoon out a long time ago. I don't know if y'all remember this. But the cartoon, a person was trying to make a decision. And on this right shoulder was the angel. And on this shoulder was the devil. They had to make a decision. They had someone speaking in this ear and someone speaking in that ear. I wanted to find an honest decision making. Which voice is the loudest? Which voice are we listening to? I can assure you of one thing, if you don't stay in God's word, you can't hear his voice. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says concerning, say free will of passion. I'm a free willer, all right? I'm going to get back to the notes, but we're going to free will it for a minute. Amen? The Bible says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Amen. Samuel, now we all ought to know the Lord. We ought to know his voice. But the scripture said when Samuel was in the house of Eli, the Lord called him, that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And when God called Samuel, he went and said, yes, Eli, a father. Eli said, son, go lay down. I didn't call you. Amen. So he went and laid down, and the Lord called him again. But the problem is, he did not yet
know the Lord.
Anybody here that don't know the Lord? If you know the Lord, then you want to hear his
voice.
Did not Jesus say, I am the what kind of shepherd?
The good shepherd.
He said, my sheep know me, and my sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. But when you don't know the voice, when you don't know the word, you'll follow anything.
That's right.
Hello?
That's right.
When you don't know the voice, and you don't know the word, you'll follow anything.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not. Now tonight, I'm not being nosy, but what voice are you following? What voice am I following? What am I listening to?
That's right.
Amen. Am I walking in the counsel of ungodly? I won't be blessed. So we got to hear his voice. You got to know. So Eli said, go lay down, Samuel. I did not call you. But after several repetitions of the same thing, the scripture said Eli perceived that the what? Lord was calling the child. So he said, next time you hear the voice, just say what? Can we hear the judge say what?
Speak Lord.
Because
servant.
Is anybody telling God that tonight speak Lord? For thy servant here. Lord, speak to me because I need some direction. Hallelujah, speak Lord, because your servant here. I hear his heart's knows his own. And he has his master's spirit.
But some kind of way the people of God get confused.
Hallelujah.
They can't even recognize his voice.
And when you don't recognize his voice, you're great 50 years early.
I guess that, right?
Amen. You lose a lot of hair. And the most important thing, you don't have no joy.
Because you worry. Because you don't hear the voice. And even when God is speaking, you cannot hear his voice. Why? Rest in the Lord. Anybody rested in the Lord? That means, you know, sometimes we need to take a real long. You know, we all take some selahs, right? For a few minutes to reflect. But we need to take a long pause. Amen. We just need to meditate. Blessed is the man that meditates in his law. How often?
Day and night. Day and night.
We need to do some meditating. I'm not talking about that 5 minute meditation and then you're up and doing everything else. I'm talking about getting with God. And I heard Jacob say, Lord, I got a hold of you right now. And I'm not going to let you go to you. Some of us need to get a hold of God in our meditation period. Amen. The trial. Remember, Jacob was greatly distressed. Jacob was worried about something in advance. Worry is payment paid in advance for something that you don't even have to pay. That's what worry is. Payment in advance for a debt you don't even know. That's worry. Jacob was greatly distressed because he heard something. Amen. And the Bible said, God said, this is one of them cases I got to get involved.
Hallelujah.
When we get so messed up, God said, I can't leave you to yourself because you're a run amok. As Paul said, your faith will become shipwreck. So God himself had to alleviate the fact that Jacob was not resting in the Lord. But Jacob said one thing, and I guarantee you want to do the same. The angel of the Lord told him who was the Lord himself. He said, let me go. Jacob said, I got a hold of you now. I've been wrestling with you what? All night long. Sometimes you need to stay up in the midnight hour. And not just be crying and have no pity party. I'm talking about in the midnight hour, you got to get a hold of God. Amen. He said, it is almost a what? Breaking of day. That means they've been fighting how long?
All night.
All right, long. I'm saying sometimes if we really are desperate and want a change, we need to wrestle all night long. He said, let me go. Jacob said, no, Lord, I'm not going to let you go now. I'm not going to let you go to you. Come on, I'm not going to let you go to you. We need to wrestle with God in such a way that we say, Lord, I've been waiting for too long for my blessing. I've been waiting for too long for my change. I'm not going to let you go to your blessing. And the Lord said, well, okay, I'm going to bless you. He changed his name from Jacob to
Israel,
because he said, now you are a prince and have power with God. That's what your relationship with God. God should change your name. Amen. God should change your name to a divine name to show that you got some favor with God. Amen. Somebody said, well, I just call and talk to this and I talk to that one. I heard the song where I said, telephone to glory. Means to twist, to bind together, with an expectation of hope. To twist, to bind together with an expectation of hope. And the best way to understand that, how many of you are familiar with a rope? Anybody know about ropes? It starts off with one thread.
That's right.
What a rope. But that thread by itself is what?
Weak.
Right? A rope. I don't know if you ever broke one or cut one, but when you break, when you actually cut a rope, there's like all kind of threads and twine all wrapped up together. But by itself it is
weak.
Amen. Let me see, where's the young person at? Where's Marlon or something? Marlon, come here for a minute. Come here for a minute, Marlon. Let's do this little demonstration.
Go, Marlon.
All right. This is my notes, but they old notes, see? This is a piece of paper. See if you can tear that paper. That was easy, wasn't it? You know why? Because this thread is by itself. And this is what the devil tries to do to the church. He always trying to isolate you and make you exist by your that's a single thread. All right, now, I want you to rip this one for me. Rip that up. Give it all you got. Now, you got to do better. Come on, you can do better than that. It's the same paper. It's more than one. You mean you can rip this, but you can't rip that? Why not?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Oh, join me again. All right, that's what I wanted. I'm afraid I'm going to say that. Well, that's what I'm talking about here. That's what our hope is. When it's by itself, it is
weak.
But when you bind it all together, that hope and expectation of a change, you get stronger and stronger. Amen. Did not Job say, he that has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. Amen. Quam means to bind, to twist together until you have some strength to wait for the change.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's what quam means. You just keep, the devil keeps coming at you. Say, Lord, I'm standing.
I'm standing.
Hallelujah. He comes at you every other way. Say, Lord, I'm still standing. But I'm not just standing doing nothing. I'm binding it together. Look at somebody and say, quam.
Quam.
Bind it together. The moment you stand alone and you lose your twisting, binding ability, you will be torn, just like that piece of paper. Amen. But the more you build it, the stronger it gets. So the Lord said, you need to rest in the Lord and then wait. And then kill the spirit of worry. Fret not. All right. Verse 8 says, cease from
anger.
Cease from anger and forsake. And once again, stop
worrying.
Because when you get angry, any of them get angry? You know, the other day I had a non-pastor moment. Yeah. I had a non-pastor moment. It wasn't about me, it's something that happened to somebody else. But I had a non-pastor moment. I had a plain David Camp moment. I was like, what? My wife said, okay, Pastor. I said, Pastor, nothing. What? I was angry. But then I said, well, she kept using that pastor stuff. It was messing me up. Quote scripture, she didn't let me stay in myself long enough to let my anger brew. Amen. She said, okay, Pastor. I wouldn't do no bad words. I don't curse or nothing like that. I'm just saying what I was saying. I couldn't believe the audacity of someone to do this. I said, you wait till I see them. Somebody was pulling on my coat.
Pull it down.
No, that's not how God wants you to handle it. I said, I know how God wants me to handle it.
waiting. Just waiting. But then a few minutes, I said, yeah, you're right, I'll just let it go. I prayed for a long time, bro. I prayed for a long time. I prayed, she talked, and the Lord talked. Then I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't act like that. That was a non-pastor moment. But that's what happens when you let your anger get the better of you. So it says, cease from anger and forsake.
Right.
See, anger is, you know, like you ever see some people, you ever see somebody that gets mad because they start. You ever see that? Nose fed up, breathing hard, they mad. Now wrath is when it goes beyond that. Amen. He said, you gotta forsake that. Because if you get angry and you don't forsake that wrath, if you allow it to build itself up, it will wind up turning into evil. Amen. So I got the advantage. So I heard that I'm not going to no more kids' basketball games. I got this. That was it. I said, I'm just going to say, oh, my, I ain't going to no more. He's coaching, but nevertheless, let's get back to this. I only told, if I'm going to tell it, I need to tell it all, right?
That's right.
No? I was like, you know what I said. As a matter of fact, I was with ministry, Elder Gibbs one time. I was with Elder Gibbs said, okay, Pastor, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. You know, but that's, you know, that's what you got to get out of you. Even in sports, you still got to be saved.
That's right.
Amen. So I don't play sports anymore. Praise God. Next verse. For evildoers shall be what?
Cut off.
But those
that wait upon the Lord.
You got to wait.
Wait.
On the Lord. But those that wait on the Lord shall
inherit.
God has a blessing, and guess what? He has your name on it. And it might not come when you expect it. But all God wants you to do is
wait.
Wait. Amen. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. Lamentations 3:21. Now we're talking about what now? Waiting on who? The Lord. We're talking about not worrying, not fretting ourselves because of evildoers. What the psalmist is actually saying is keep your eyes on Jesus. As long as you keep your focus right, amen. As long as you stop looking at the things which are temporal and keep looking at the things which are eternal, then you have a blessing. While we look not at things which are what?
Temporal.
Seen. Those things are temporal. But the things which are
eternal.
For the things which are seen are only temporal. But when we look to God, they are eternal. So he said, you know what? If you don't get your eyes off of the things of this world, you're going to spiritually corrupt yourself. You're worrying about all the wrong things. Amen? I know when I was preaching to myself, I said, now read. That's why you get a break for a few minutes. But nevertheless, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I quava. I have some hope. I have some trust. Amen? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because
his compassion.
I might fail, you might fail, but his compassions
fail not.
They are new.
Every
morning I get up, I get some new compassion. Every morning I get up, I get new mercy. Amen. I can't focus on yesterday. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are
behind.
This is a new day. You got up this morning, you got new mercy, and you got new compassion. So you got to forget about the mess up of yesterday. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now, Lord, I'm back in your word. Psalm 119, verse 67, he said, before I was afflicted, I got off pain. I got off of doing what was right. He said, but now, Lord, I'm back in your word.
Hallelujah.
You got to see in the word because that's the only hope that we have today.
Without his word, we have no hope. They are new every morning. And what?
Great is thy faithfulness.
God doesn't just have regular faithfulness. When he has what?
Great is thy faithfulness.
Yes. Amen. Next verse said, the Lord is
my portion.
The who?
Lord.
The Lord is my portion, said. You know what? Jeremiah was saying, I can't go by what my flesh is saying. I can't even go by what my mind is saying. Right now, I'm allowing my soul to pour itself out to God. Amen. You got to get to one of those soul searching places in your life. He said, said my soul, therefore will I have
hope.
We're still talking about what? Hope in who?
In him.
God. Hope in who?
God.
Hope in him. The Lord is
good.
Good unto them that what?
Wait for him.
Are you waiting on God? Then you have the promise of God that he will be
good, to
good
you.
Unto you. To the soul that
seeketh
him. It is good that a man should both.
Hope.
Now we said, earlier we talked about resting in the Lord. That means to wait quietly for him. Amen. Rest in the Lord and then do what? Wait for him. So then Jeremiah confirms that. He said, it is good that a man should both
hope
and what?
Quietly.
Now a whole lot of us are waiting. Yeah, but how quiet are we?
That's right.
The whole world, the whole neighborhood, the whole family, the ones that aren't saved, know too much. Because we're not quiet. Even Job, if you read the 42nd verse, when the Lord finally started getting Job's attention, Job said, you know what I'm going to do? What did he do? He put his what?
Hand over his mouth.
Job said, I've been running my mouth for 41 chapters. 42, he said, you know what, Lord? I'm a man. I'm a vile man. He said, I will put my hand
on my mouth.
Some of us tonight, everybody, just hold your hand up. We wait to the Lord right now. We wait to give him a blessing. Then do this. That means you need to quiet it up. Amen. You need to just let God do it. All the crying, all the complaining, the people down the street, around the corner, every judge, every attorney, everybody knew the whole situation. Let God fix it. Amen. So he said it's good that a man should both. Not one, but what? Look at somebody say, you gotta do both of them.
Do both of them.
Somebody said, well, I'm hoping. But I just can't keep it to myself. Amen. But you gotta do what?
Both.
You gotta hope that what?
Quietly wait.
Now, as you're waiting, remember wait means while you're still binding. You're still twisting. You're still getting stronger with the expectation that God is gonna meet you.
Amen.
Amen. But how are you gonna do it?
Quietly.
If I hold my
peace.
If I hold my peace. And let the
Lord fight my battle.
Then victory
shall be mine.
A lot of us feel about peace in years. It's time to shut it down. It's time to just. The song said, learning to lean
on Jesus.
Learning.
To lean on
Jesus. And you know when I learn to lean on Jesus, I'm finding
more power
than I ever dreamed.
Learning to lean on Jesus.
I'm learning to be quiet and let God fix me. Lean on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I tell my wife a whole lot I don't tell her, because that's what I'm leaning on.
Jesus.
Because if I tell her, then she can't fix it.
No.
If she tell me I can't fix it, but Jesus can fix it.
Jesus
can fix it. So you need to do both. Now a lot of us are hoping, but Lord have mercy, we are not
quietly waiting.
So, I can't just say quietly waiting. Just ask anybody in church what your problem is. Hello? Okay, if you don't want to ask, a lot of us don't tell the church because we're too close to the church. Tell somebody, ask somebody in your family what your problem is. That means you want them to do something that only God can do. Amen? Wait for the what? Salvation means what? Deliverance. You got to do what?
Hope.
Both. Amen. So husband and wives, when y'all go home, we look at each other and say, we got to do both. When you get mad, say, when she get mad at you, just go like this. That don't mean peace. That means what?
Both.
When he start acting up, he ought not to act up. But when you do act up, guess who? Put your hand and say,
both.
You got to do both. You got to hope and you have to
quietly wait
for the salvation of the Lord. Many of us, God says, you know what? We know the word, but the word is distant. We don't apply it to our lives. Amen. When we can't figure our way out, one of the things I read, a minister was talking about waiting and hope. He said, you know what happened to people in church? They get frustrated trying to figure out what God has to do. And then in their frustration, they get all messed up. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. All messed up. Why? You're trying to do something that God has to do. You got to let Jesus do it. Give it to God. That's why he said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I give you
rest.
Anybody need some rest? Listen, anybody need some serious rest? I'm not talking about putting on a good show at church. I'm talking about when you by yourself. See, because the Bible says that our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And Solomon says, know thou this, God is keeping the record. And for all, he can say some of these things, but for what? All these things, God will bring you into
judgment.
And judgment has begun where?
In the house of God.
He said, judgment is beginning in the house of God, and if the righteous scarcely. Somebody said, I've been saved, and I'm running for Jesus. He said, you're going to just barely make it. In all your righteousness and holiness. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall they? Sinner and those ungodly were the ones that were in church that were supposed to be saved. How did they get ungodly? Because they're not in the word. They're doing what they want to do. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Somebody said, well, I just keep me praising God all the time. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, you're supposed to do what in the Lord? We're trying to get some peace of mind. We're trying to get the peace of God that passes all understanding. So Paul said, now I'm wondering what oasis, what hotel room, what cruise line was Paul writing from right about now?
Prison.
You write from where?
Prison.
That don't sound like no cruise liner to me. That don't sound like no oasis to me. It don't sound like he was in no comfort to me. But he's telling them from prison, you got to still rejoice. Rejoice when you feel like it. Rejoice when things are going well. He said rejoice.
Always.
What has robbed your joy? What has robbed your praise? He said, just to let you know, I'm talking about rejoicing. And again, I say
rejoice.
He said, let your what? Moderation be known unto
all men.
You know what? Your life is an example to others. That moderation means the gentleness of spirit, a godly character, and a godly nature. Let it be known to whom?
Amen.
Why? Because we are the living epistle, and we are read and known of some men.
Amen.
We're known of who?
Amen.
All men. Let it be known, moderation be known, the Lord is at hand. Amen. And then what's this next verse say? This is what we got to really apply here. This is what we really got to apply here. Amen. For what? Be careful. What's careful mean? What are you talking about?
Caution.
Worry. We back on what again?
Worry.
Well, what's the rivalry to rejoicing?
Worry.
Every time you work, Every time you try to do what God has to do, you're robbing God of the praise that is due His
name.
I got to come out of this email. I'm going to come out of for a bit. I need a coat there. I need a coat there. Yeah, if I don't do that, y'all won't pay attention. Y'all will not lose you. I just got to keep y'all working, all right? It says, be careful for nothing, but in what? Some
everything.
Things.
Everything.
The things that you don't figure out.
Everything.
The things that you already got the answer for, so I don't have to go to God, but what?
Everything.
In
everything.
By what?
Prayer. Supplication.
By what? Prayer. Oh, prayer. What? Oh, do you know what happened? Let me get on the phone. By what?
Prayer.
And what?
Supplication.
Everything. Wait a minute. Everything. You worry. You got all this anxiety. He said, be careful for
nothing.
But in.
Everything.
Can we all say everything?
Everything.
What's left out if he says everything?
Nothing.
Amen. So tonight, in everything. By prayer and supplication with a whole lot of murmuring and complaining.
Thanksgiving.
How?
Thanksgiving.
With what?
Thanksgiving.
So you're going to God and say, now, if you're going to get over this, do it the right way. Thanksgiving, let your
request
be made known of
God.
And then there's a blessing when you do it right. When you do it right, there's a blessing. And the what?
Peace
of God, which
has all understanding.
I was worried, but I got to get rid of that. I couldn't figure it out, but I had to get rid of that. So I'm going to take it to God in prayer and supplication, and then I'm going to, you know what I'm going to thank Him in advance for what I know He's promised me.
Amen.
He's going to do it.
Right.
Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding. What is going to keep your what?
Heart.
Wait, hold on. Your heart. You ain't praying like you ought to pray. Amen. You ain't in God where you ought to be. Because it's going to keep your heart and
mind.
But you can't do it by yourself. You got to go what?
Through Jesus.
Through Christ Jesus. Amen. And then what? The what? God of peace. Anybody need some peace tonight? The next verse. And the what? God of peace. Hallelujah. Go to the next verse. What's the next verse anyway? Fine. This is the conclusion. You gotta figure out nothing else. Even though I got one more verse, I got 5 more minutes. I'd rather keep you past time. He went through all of that, rejoiced to do it right, and he says, finally, who's he writing to?
Brothers.
The what?
Brothers.
The church.
Church.
He's not writing to the unsaved. He's writing all of that to the church. Finally, and we're trying to work on the peace of God that's going to keep our hearts and minds, and the peace that passes
all understanding.
All understanding. You want peace? You can't do it without the what? That Prince of Peace. That's what you're saying. I help you out when you kind of call up in the morning. You can't have peace without
Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. And He will keep you in what kind of peace?
Perfect
peace. When you keep your mind stayed on
Him,
you don't have that perfect peace because your mind is in all the wrong places. God will keep us in. That's a peace of God that goes beyond all. That's perfect peace. You can't explain this peace. Somebody says, well, how can you have peace in the midst of that? Because I'm in God. And I kept on. I couldn't figure out how to fix it. Hallelujah. So the only thing I can do is go to the Prince of Peace.
Come on.
So what did you do? I just kept my mind staying on Him. Amen. But finally, my brother, whatsoever things are.
Truth.
Y'all know this by heart. I'm going to have to turn that off. Y'all know this. Because this is not mine. All right. But we're going to leave it up there just for the sake. I don't know y'all are caught up in the spirit, so y'all minds will be. It's a little displaced, so we're going to leave it up there, okay? All right? What sort of things are?
True.
What sort of things are? Honest. What sort of things are?
Just.
What sort of things are?
Yeah.
See, you notice all this is all about the nature and character of God. That's what He wants you to focus on. not everybody else's shortcomings and failures, but God. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are
lovely.
Whatsoever things are bad,
good.
Whatsoever things are what?
Good.
If there be any
virtue,
if there be any
praise,
then you want to what?
Think
on
these things.
I wonder tonight, what have we been focusing on? Hello? You know, God knows. It ain't important for us to know, but isn't the time to get it right? Like I said, the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went straight. He said, but now have I kept thy word. You know what he's saying? When I got out of God's word, I was off track. I lost. I wasn't what God wanted me to be, but now I finally got it back. Amen? Go to the next verse. Those things. What kind of things? Those things. Amen. Which you have what?
More learning.
Both. Wait a minute. Stop now. We're going to go through this. This is four things we got to do. Amen. Look at somebody. Say, you got to do both. You got to both. You got to hope and quietly wait. But then there's four more things you got to do. Amen. Those things which you have what?
Learned.
That means you have practiced them and you use them. You didn't just hear them. I wasn't just a hearer of the word, but I was a
doer.
For the hearer of the word is not just before God. Because when you hear the word and you don't do it, you are like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. And that's what everyday English, that means he looked in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
All right? But he beholds himself and then straightway he goeth and forgetteth what manner of man he was. Why? Because he's not in the word. He's not staying in the word. He hears it, but he's not doing it. Amen? Amen. Those things which you have learned to practice and use, and what?
Receive.
Now, a whole lot of us hear, but we don't
receive.
We don't receive it. I heard what he said. That's from somebody else. You better receive it.
Amen.
You got to what?
Receive
it. So you learn it. You receive it. He said, and then when you don't know what you learn and what you see, the things that you have seen, heard, and seen in
me.
He said, you heard it from me, then you what?
Seen it.
You seen it in me. Our lives are living epistles. There's red and all of who?
All men.
Parents, our lives are living epistles. Red and all of our children. Mm-hmm. So we're telling our children what to do. This is for the internet. This ain't for y'all, right? But for those parents on the internet that skip this, you tell your children everything to do and you're doing the opposite. So then when they come to age, they say, I don't want to go to church because everybody in church are hypocrites. So you can't just live it in church. You can't just live it around the adults. But you got to be an example. In front of those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, you want to what?
Do.
You gotta do it. I can just relax when I'm at home. I can have a non-pastor moment. No, you gotta do it.
Hallelujah.
You gotta do it. No exceptions. God doesn't have exceptions in his word. Amen. Say to me, do. And when you do it like God wants you to do it, and the what?
God of peace shall be with you.
And the what?
God of peace.
The God of peace shall be what?
With you.
When you do it God's way, God said, I'm going to be with you in what? Peace. And we close in 1 Peter chapter 5. We close here. And I'm going to be ahead of schedule. Praise the Lord. But tonight we want to get it right. We want to do the things that are pleasing in whose sight?
God.
In God's sight. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the Ephesian brother, he said, you do things as I serve as
men
pleasers. He said, I want you to do as a servant of Christ from the
heart.
So when you go through the motions, you're just doing it for men. But when you're a servant of Christ, you do it for where? The heart. Tonight we just want our hearts to be right. Amen. Go to verse 5. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea,
All of you.
Yay.
All of you.
If I mean, who's not guys that's all of you? Amen. That's cool. That's everybody. All of you be what? Subject one to another. And be clothed with
humility.
You know what? You know what Peter's saying? Even when people act up, just take it. That's humility. Humility is you didn't do anything wrong, but you've been blasted and told off, and then just take it. Amen. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he give it
grace to the humble.
God resisteth the
proud.
I think in Christendom and in salvation and among saved, you've never seen so many people so proud. In their pride, they refuse to submit. Pride will not. Y'all take notes, write this one down. I'll tell you to write 2 minutes down, but write this one down. If you don't write it down in your book, write it down in your mind. Amen. Pride will not allow you to submit to God. Pride will not allow you to submit to God. You can have the whole bishop, the whole organization telling you what to do, but pride, it won't let you submit. How do we know? Lucifer got kicked out of heaven because of? Because he could not
submit.
Well, the problem in submitting is we fail to realize, as Lucifer failed to realize, that God sees all. So when Lucifer said, I'm going to set my throne above the star throne of God, he forgot that God was everywhere, and God saw it. God said, what? Paul, and then Matthew said, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning.
Fall.
No, that was Luke. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning.
Fall from heaven.
That's what Jesus said in the book of Luke. Why? Because of pride. Pride will not allow you to submit. Amen. Even when you're in pride and anger together, Lord have mercy. That's bad, amen? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the
mighty hand of God.
Everywhere we go, we should be under God's hand. That he may
exalt you in due time.
Exalt you in due time. Casting.
Oh, my God.
Casting.
Oh, my
God. Tonight, are there any cares that we have not cast upon God? Is there any anxieties we have not cast? Are there any things that we're holding on to that we have not cast upon God? Casting all your cares upon God because he
cared for
you. Then a little later he said, Paul says, I've learned that we're in whatsoever state
I am.
That I am in to be.
Content.
I've learned my ups, my down, hunger, thirst, good, bad, all that I've learned as an old stand to be.
Content.
Content. Well, we're trying to get past worry. Oh man, I didn't get holy. We'll start in Psalm 37:16. I didn't get to the little bit of righteous man yet, but we get there next time, Lord willing. Okay? But as the elders and ministers come forward, we're trying to overcome the spirit of worry and the spirit of a lack of trust in God. We're trying to overcome the spirit of a lack of trust in God and worry. When you worry, you don't trust God. When you trust God, then you know that God has this. And we read, I believe it's 37:6 or 37:4, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Tonight, how many of you want to just say, hear the Lord say, well done, thou good man. I don't want to just be good, but I want to be. Is there anything tonight that's hindering our faithfulness to God? What is standing between you and the Savior? What things have you allowed the adversary to infect your mind to make you stop trusting God? Some of us are going through the motions of salvation, but the Bible says that God seeth not as man seeth. Because man looks at the what? But God looks at our heart. Tonight is time for us to get it right. So I want to church tonight. Do we really trust God? Are we going to kill the spirit of worry? And are we going to do what is right in His sight?